The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren LoGiudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. Now, how's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I feel like the end of the year is nigh. It feels like wrapping up things. We're about to have the Misfit Variety Show on a Wednesday. By the time this comes out, what would have happened? Future Lauren, I hope it was great. And man, I can't wait to this year to be over. It was a shit year. It was an awful summer. This fall's been great, but you know, I just feel like there needs to be a tide turning. Like, just needs to, something needs to shift over. I need a new calendar year. I think I need to just a redo. I need another number on the calendar. I think it will help. I know it's just another day, but I just do feel like something about this year just didn't work for me. I talked about a lot of like weird things that didn't come through. It was like things were kind of almost there, but not. So I feel like next year, I don't know, it's going to be the year. I think it'll be, I just need one thing that to say yes. And then I'll feel like it's coming out on the other side. But I mean, saying that things are great. Things are wonderful. Oh, by the way, before we go into our interview, a reminder, please rate and review the podcast. So social proof is important for misfits because misfits trust other misfits to know what's good. You can also sign up at laurenlogiu.com or you could sponsor a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals and small companies. Just go to Lauren Logiu, click on Listen Podcast and contact us there. All right. So we're going to, with a heavy heart, I say we're going to go to this interview. It's with Manny Martins Carmen, who is in fashionista, inspirer, content creator, also power lifter. She had also an incredible career graphic design. She since passed away since the interview. And I listened to it again. I wasn't sure what we should do. But I was so inspired by this interview. I mean, that's why she gathered a following online, is because of how inspiring she was. She was about 61, I think, when we chatted, and she was inspiring women over 50, she says, to dress and live out loud, dress like they want and live out loud. And yeah, I mean, I think even if you were not in the age bracket in which she serviced, I feel like you can still take a lot of inspiration from her, because she basically felt that there were certain societal norms that people had for her and she refused to play by the rules. And I think it's really important now in this world we're in, and we all know what's happening. Everyone wants us to play by the rules. And I think it's really important to have, you know, people to look up to who show you the way. And what I love about Manny is that she did it in the most positive way possible. You know, a lot of the internet, it thrives on negativity. And I've been advised this myself. Like, if you have positive things going on, positive content, but maybe frame it in the negative. And I'm like, oh man, I'm just not for me. That's not for me. And it wasn't for Manny. And look, she gathered an incredible, beautiful community around what she was, around her message. And she's inspired thousands and thousands of people. So I hope that this will inspire you. Her legacy certainly lives on. Her content is currently public. I thought there were certain questions I thought she said I pulled out. I wrote them down actually when I was listening to the podcast. She contemplated, you know, a lot of people are like talking about like, what should I do online? I hear that from a lot of people. Like, what should I ask me? Like, well, what should I make? Right. I want to make this thing. And she broke it down to like, how can you help others with what you know? How much joy can you put out there? And what are you good at? So they get like, what are you good at? How can you help others with that? And like, how much joy can you put out there? And part of that is like having joy in the creation of it. And that certainly is something that she did. And that I think is what made her stand out above the rest. So we're going to go to the interview. I know you'll love her as much as I did. Actually, how I got exposed to her was a friend sent me, and she knew I was looking for podcast guests. I asked my Instagram community who they wanted me to talk to. And someone said, this person is so positive and inspiring and certainly a misfit and certainly doing it her own way. She's like carving a niche. She's literally doing the, inventing the thing as she's doing it. And there's nothing we love more than that on this podcast. So let's get to your friend and mine, Manny Martins Carmen.
Hello, Manny Martins Carmen, to Miss Miss Making It.
Hi, glad to be here.
Yes, so glad to have you. I think one of my fans sent me one of your videos, and I absolutely fell in love with your spirit.
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy ride, but yeah, it's been fun.
So tell us, like, how did you do a few different things? So first of all, like, let us know a little bit about what you do and how you got there.
Well, I'm a creative person by nature, and I've always been creative. So I worked as a graphic designer, and then I became an artist full time for about 5 years. And then I, you know, COVID hit, and I just didn't feel the whole creativity and painting and all that stuff. So I decided to go online and get, you know, like what everyone else did, just have this little dopamine of, you know, people doing crazy stuff. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to post a couple photos or videos too. And I did. And a couple of them were like really well received. And so that was it. It just sort of like happened. I grew a community is what happened. Is I got a community of like-minded people who just, you know, they feed me just as much as I feed them. So.
Aw, that's beautiful. And so then, like, describe to us your community.
Women over 50 who are done, you know, feeling invisible and want to live out loud and screw all the, you know, rules and all the stuff that the patriarchy has thrown down our throats.
Hell yeah. I love it. I love it. And so you, in terms of like the things you wanted to talk about, how did you decide that this was going to be it?
It was really just from my own, like I was just posting for myself. And then I realized so many people were all, you know, feeling the same way. So, you know, things like, oh, you're too old to wear a crop top. No. So I went with that and I showed them, hey, this is how you wear a crop top. Doesn't matter what age you are. If you like it, you should wear it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And so now you're a bit of a fashionista online, eh?
Yeah. Again, you know, when you're a creative person, the skills that you have accumulated, whether it's in graphic design, in art or whatever it is, they're all transferable. And when I found out that I could transfer it into style and making videos, that was sort of what clicked for me. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can show people how to put stuff together based on the principles that I already know. And so it was really just, it was very natural. It just sort of happened.
We love that because you were so like in line with what you were doing. So we love that. That's great. So you've always been a misfit and you just made it in different ways as the situation came about.
Yeah, I've always been different. And, you know, as a teenager, you yearn to, you know, fit in and be like everyone else. And I did that. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't, didn't make me happy. So probably it was grade 12 where I started to, you know what, screw that. I'm just going to be me and be the wacky me, dress how I want to dress. And that's how it kind of, that's how the little grain started. But then as I, you know, got into profession, and luckily I was in graphic design, which is a creative profession. So it allowed me to express myself through fashion as well. But then I had kids. And then, I don't know, I lost myself for about 10, 20 years where I was like, I don't know. I'm looking after these people. I'm responsible to keep them alive. I can't do anything else.
Yep.
But then in my late 40s, early 50s, found it again. And hell now yeah. I'm just running with it.
What was different when you came back to the creativity after that break?
It was actually quite slow because, you know, tons of self-doubt, right? Like, really, you know, can I really do this? Is this any good? All those things that creative people think about when when they're putting stuff out there. And and then I was like, well, I'm starting from a clean slate, really, because I know what I did in my teens and 20s. Yeah, that was fun. But I'm not that same person now. You know, I've evolved. And so from there, I started to think about ways that I could evolve my own style. And I've had lots of influencers influence me, like Trini Woodall, Carla Rockmore. Can't think of any right off the top of it other than those two. Those two women have, yeah, they really solidified it for me. It was like, yep, I get that. That's where I'm going.
What about them? I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with their work. What about them really spoke to you?
Trini Woodall is a founder of a makeup and skincare company in the UK. She's fabulous. I first found her through COVID, where she was doing styling sessions and you know, and then the same with Carla Rockmore. She used to be a designer and she's also Canadian, but she lives in the US now. And she also has this unique flair of just being able to communicate, you know, how to put stuff together. And it's the storytelling for me with her. Like, she just has a great way of having me, you know, captivated.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then do you feel like, so this, a lot of people who listen to this are misfits. They're people who have unconventional paths. They, you know, I feel like a lot of fashion, I will just speak for myself as well, like fashion inspiration. I just feel like so much stuff is just like, let's fit a box, like mainstream, forget about mainstream fashion inspiration. Like, I don't, the people with the big lips, bless you. Like, that's just not my thing, you know? Like, the white girl with the bangle. Like, I love you. But that's not me. So I don't even, like, how do you go about? Like, I'm looking at, like, David Bowie and, like, the 70s. And, like, how do you find, I don't know where else to look. Like, how do you find fashion inspiration when you're a misfit?
Actually, you know, you nailed it right there. That's exactly how you find it. You go for the stuff that makes you feel good, the stuff that connects with you. And from there, that's how you pull out those things. Because really, it's quite simple. If it makes you feel good, it's for you. And if it doesn't, then it's not. So just go after the stuff, like David Bowie, for example, you know, like the great hair and just that whole rock and roll vibe. Recreate it. Watch that stuff. Watch what he did and figure out how does that fit into your life and how can you take little bits of it and make it your own.
Right. And where do we go to get the clothes? Like, where do you find the things that are truly unique?
Yeah, that's that's another one. I actually thrift quite a bit and I also sew. So sometimes when I get an idea or I see something that's quite unattainable, like, you know, mega thousands of dollars, like designer stuff. And I think, well, I can do that. And so I do. I just, you know, I take inspiration from it. I figure out how it would fit my body and I create it. Recently, I had a post with these graffiti jeans and everyone says, like, where do I order those? How, you know, give me a link. I'm like, sorry, they're men's jeans that I thrifted and then I painted. So I could show you how to paint them, but
hell yeah. Well, how do we paint our own jeans?
Oh, it's super simple. And, you know, it doesn't need a tutorial. All you need is put your jeans out, pick three colors that are your favorite colors, and then let yourself play. Remember finger painting as a kid?
Yep.
Do that. And then step back and look at it and go, okay, now what's it missing? What is it telling you? Does it need more pink? Does it need more of this other color? Do we need to go back in with a Sharpie and draw on it? Write on it? Put words and inspirational stuff on it? You have to be able to just step back and go, okay, talk to me. Tell me, what is it that I need to see, right?
Yeah.
And I think that comes, I've honed that from being a creative. I've always asked, well, what if, right? What if I put this here? What if I add text here? What if I put a blazer over top of another blazer? What happens next? Right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's basically like get dressed with a spirit of play is what you're talking about.
Yes. If you ever dressed up as a kid, you know, in your little trunk of dress up clothes, pretend that your closet is a little trunk of clothes. Go in and throw stuff on. And, you know, I often do videos where I pick things out and I show them how I pick them. But then I realize in the video that, no, this isn't how I'm feeling. I'm going to choose something else. And you just need to give yourself a little bit of time to go through that process of, okay, I'm going to put this on. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that works. All right, move on. Put something else mm-hmm. on and just play.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So I love how much you talk about age is just a number, and you are very like pro fabulous at all ages. What has been the reaction to putting that out there?
It has been really, really surprisingly great. Like, mm-hmm. I had no idea a bunch of other people also felt the same way. And it might be just, you know how everything's cyclical, but right now people are needing to be heard and feel seen and mm-hmm. and validated and, you know, all those things. So I think that from my generation, what we thought, you know, an old person was, I thought an old person was somebody who was in their 60s. I'm 61. And I don't think I'm old.
Yep.
So and it's all just, you know, what society has put into us and what we've learned. And sure, we can unlearn that, but we can also take that and question it again, right? Like, mm-hmm. why do we have to, you know, wear frumpy clothes and let our hair go all short? And, you know, I'm going gray, which is fine. I have embraced it. I'm like, heck yes, let's do it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's for whoever wants to, like, if you don't feel like going gray, you don't have to. You have to find a way to not let yourself get lost in all the stuff around you. Find ways of stepping up and, hey, I'm here too and I matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Because I feel like so often I think it's like this self-limitation. Like, no one's really telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, there are these like subtle gaslighting and cues from culture, but a lot of it, like, you can literally do whatever you want.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I find that I give people permission. If they see me do it, it gives them permission to, or it makes them feel like, hey, you're right.
Right.
I can go there. So by showing up and doing that stuff and spewing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Well, how do you see people limit themselves with age?
One is in movement. Like, I'm a competitive power lifter.
Whoa, it's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm going in it.
2 years. And one of the things is that as you get older, yes, your body starts to, you know, hurt more. And there are things that don't work the same. But we need to figure out, how do we still do things we love with the limitations we have? You can't just, you know, sit on the couch and never do anything. You got to get out there and keep moving, keep doing stuff. And right now, you know, there's a big thing about strength and how everybody needs to put on muscle and all that stuff. Well, it's always been that way, but it's just a little louder right now. Mm-hmm. And I've always been fairly active. I've run half marathons. I've done boxing. That one I don't recommend because you get hit in the face and it doesn't feel good. But the powerlifting is amazing, especially for seniors or people over 50, because it's going to give you muscle and an opportunity to go and meet other people who are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just love it. Like when I didn't start it to compete, but I did competition and then I was hooked.
Hell yeah. Powerlifter, badass. It's so badass. But I have something I've noticed too, and I made this video, was about how I talk about not having kids and just being okay with that and not being unapologetically like, I don't want them. I don't feel bad about it. That's not what I wanted.
Awesome.
And people were like, specifically talked about how I've noticed people use age as an excuse to have kids with the wrong person. Like, oh, it's time to get married. It's time to have kids. And like, they make the shittiest decisions. And yeah. And so I just feel like whenever someone, and then I have a friend who quit show business and is the most, because he felt like he was too old. And it was a limitation. He blames his failure on age when I know it wasn't. I know it was his work ethic. There's a lot of things. He shot himself in the foot. It was his own limitation, his own mind. He was like certain it was age and he like started sabotaging himself. Anyway, not that there's an ageism, but I feel like whenever I've seen so often people like create these stories and make the wrong decisions. So I'm wondering if you see some of the same thing. Oh,
absolutely. So first of all, yes, those stories are created from the things that we consume, the things we see, the things we're exposed to. And now we get to be exposed to so many more things because of social media, because of just a bigger world, right? So we can see older people doing amazing things. We can see all that stuff. So it's going to start changing the story. But back to kids. I had mine at, how old? I was 46. I was considered geriatric. Because we weren't going to have them either. But somehow, you know, I always say I got this call from my uterus. It's like now or never. And I went, And so my husband and I decided to have kids. We have two. And I love my kids. But back then, it wasn't really a thing to not have kids. Like if we said, you know, to our friends and family, no, we're not going to have kids. We're not going to have kids. And then one day we turn around, we have kids. Cause I don't know if we felt the pressure or if we just convinced ourselves that that's what we're supposed to do next. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. But here we are. I think they made me a better person.
Right, right. But you feel like perhaps you didn't need to have them to do next. It wasn't like, all right, we need to do this next.
No, absolutely not. That was definitely a pressure outside of, yeah.
Right. It's interesting. Like I love the Cyndi Lauper quote too about how she refused to reveal her age. And you do reveal your age. So I'm curious how you feel about it. It's like whenever people would ask her age, she'd be like, why? What are you trying to kick the tires to see what the model's like before you buy it? Like, you like it or you don't?
Oh, my God. That is. Yes. I totally was the same in, you know, people ask me, well, how old are you? And when I said, well, I'm, you know, 59 or I'm 60 or whatever, they're like, wow. And I'm like, what do you mean? Wow. Well, it wasn't what they expected that number to look like or to be, right? And so now I do share it because it helps to rewrite the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're like, and what?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting, you know, we do have more and more images and pictures of people who are over than 50 doing extraordinary things.
Yes.
At the same time, I don't know if you've seen this as well, but like I've seen the cutoff to be considered old, quote unquote, go younger and younger in a way. Like, whereas maybe this is just coming from young people, like our younger people or whatever that means. You know, like I saw an 18-year-old rapper said, ha ha ha, I made this song and it's making fun of old people, like people over 25. And I was like, what is happening?
Well, they're definitely older than he is. And, yeah. You know, if you think back, and, you know, he's what, a millennial or I don't know. I don't like those
Alpha,
labels.
Yeah.
So he's using his experiences in the world today to determine what is aging, right? Whereas me back then, like when I thought 60 was old, today I think, you know, 90 is getting up there.
Yeah. So why don't you, everyone's obsessed with the generational differences. Why aren't you into it?
It doesn't matter. You know, like, why do we need to have labels on stuff? It right. just puts people in little boxes for their own sort of, I don't know, like people who need to have things all lined up and perfect. But I was once told that I'm a perfectionist, so I often challenge myself and try to be a little bit not perfectionist intentionally, right. just to debunk those, you know. Yeah, like when people tell me I can't do something, oh my God, that's like my sign to, okay, watch me.
Right, for sure. And a lot of these generational differences are based on an upper class white experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an immigrant. I came to Canada from Portugal with my parents. And so I was young. I started school here in Canada. So I learned everything that I guess from a little bit of a sheltered position, right? Because I wasn't, native to Canada.
Right.
And so my parents would, it's new to them. They wanted to protect me. So, I lost my train of thought. I forgot where I was going.
Well,
with
I was
that.
Thinking about about the generational differences are often like based on straight white. Yeah.
Yeah.
White, upper class white people. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And your experience was not that. And then people are like, all right, boomer. And it's like, I think it would be Gen X, actually. Are you Gen X?
You know, I'm right on the cusp. So
right.
They say boomers go to 64, 1964. I was born in 63. And sometimes they say, well, it ends at 1960.
Right.
So
who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
And I think it's sometimes it's like what you like, maybe some traits you identify with, but like at the end of the day, like it's it depends on like your social standing. And it's just so, anytime we categorize, it just divides.
Absolutely. Yes. And we don't need that.
Right. It's like putting people in category. This is not like an identity. Like this is not like, oh, I'm queer. It's like just, all right, everyone who it's like an astrology side. All right. Gemini's this way. you're a Taurus. All right, Taurus. You know, it's just like ridiculous. Yes.
Yeah. You can't have Capricorns and Aries together. Like, cause you know,
you know, oh my God, you have a Sagittarius working for you. Ah, guide to working with a Scorpio. Like it's it makes no sense. Okay. So, you know, you pivoted business like a lot of people, misfits have diverse career paths.
Yep.
And you've had some pivots. What have you learned in those creative pivots?
My very first experience of working, I was, I believe, 15, and both my parents are laborers. My mom worked in a factory till, like, she worked in a factory forever. Anyway, so she got me a job at 15 for the summer, working in this factory doing piecework, and I sat at this sewing machine and sewed the same thing to the same piece of, oh, it was so awful that it, like that was a pivotal point where I went, okay, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be my parents.
Right.
I got to do something and take control. And so, you know, I wanted to be an artist, but there's no money in art.
Right. I went to Westland, a very artsy school, liberal arts school. And my parents were like, major in science. So that's what I did. That wasn't an option.
And my aunt was supportive, but my dad, when I told him I was going into graphic design, he goes, you're never going to make any money. Oh, watch me.
Yeah.
And I became very successful. I was well liked and lots of awards and all that stuff. So I tend to be driven by the fact that, you know, somebody might say that, no, you can't do it. Then,
right. Then you have
yeah.
to. Right. And then now when you've like pivoted into more online content, that is constantly changing. How do you figure it out?
So one of the things, so after going into graphic design, I then had children and I actually made a proposal back then. This was like, I don't even know, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, 25 years ago, I said, you know, I'm sure I can do this at home. How about I work from home? And they're like, no, never. And now what do we got?
But yep.
Regardless of that. So they didn't want me to leave the office. They wanted me in the office. And I said, okay, fine. Then I'm sorry, I've got to leave because I made these kids. I'm going to be there for them. But I still want to work. So I went freelance and I did my own thing for quite a long time. And then when I jumped into doing online stuff, it was like, okay, I've done all this work and I know what I like to do and I know what I hate to do. And so when I went into online, I was like, well, I don't like to plan. I just like to feel. And if an idea comes to me, I'm going to jump into it and be obsessed by it for until it's finished. And so that's, I don't have a traditional way of creating content.
Okay.
So for all those brands out there, I will create if you need me to create in a traditional way, but I create spontaneously. If it becomes work, then it's not for me. Like, I want it to be fun. I want it to be like I'm done working. Now I'm just doing stuff I love.
And then how do you, I mean, monetization is like, I mean, that's another bear that we're like all trying to rev it. Like, how do you even know like what's next? How do you figure that out?
I don't think I need to. I'm just going to go along for the ride and see what happens. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to know, you know, like when I get into it too much, I start to stress about it. It's like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Oh, I'm not, you know. I should have representation. Oh, I should have an agent. Oh, no. As long as you're happy. And, you know, there isn't a ton of money in it right now. And I'm still building my community. So who knows? Maybe at some point I will make money at it. Right now I get lots of free stuff and, you know, a few bucks here and there. But, you know, money, yes, buys things. Necessary, happy, fun, creative balance.
Right. I think that's people like don't understand. And I've tried to explain it to many people, like just online content for online content's sake is not a business plan. That's not, it's the end is what are you selling? That's the main thing. And yeah, it's like, oh, wait, but I'm this product or I have to have products. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, because of my marketing background, it's so funny. What PR packages was like a whole new thing for me because I was like, what? People are just sending me stuff. But then I'd look back when I was in design and I would get packages from paper mills. I would get like goodies and invitations and stuff to different parties from different printers. So it's really no different. It's just completely come around to, you know, now the brands are coming directly to you versus you trying to reach out to other people. And it's more global.
Right. It can be anywhere.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, in Hacks when they, did you see Hacks?
Maybe.
Oh, you got to see it, Manny. It's great because it's just about all the things we're talking about.
Oh, like, yes. Okay. Yeah. I watched a couple episodes and then for some reason. Smart. Yes.
Like so many things. Yes. There's so many things. Right. So in Hacks, like, she, oh my God, where did this train of thought go? It just went with Jean Smart. I'm going to go see Jean Smart tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm so excited.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It's so, because this series, it talks about like aging and it talks about like, you know, the way you keep yourself relevant, which is just by getting better. That's what she finds out. Like, oh, yes. I just have to like be curious to be interesting. That's, and constantly improving it better, which is a great story. And there was something else. Oh my God, brain. Oh my God. What were we were talking about before that thread? Let's see, put a fairy hacks. Dust. Hacks. It was something to hacks. Anyway, there was something to hacks and it was great. Trust me. But hopefully the sound effects will, dear listener, distract you from what I just forgot. I was going to say something about hacks, which was so good. I was like, first of all, Manny, you must see it.
Yes. I have to, I think, go back and start watching it again. You know what you said about curious, like being curious? That is just like the key. Apply that to absolutely everything you do. The way you get dressed, the way you start a conversation, you know, mm-hmm. just being curious is a great way to just open yourself up and experience things that maybe you wouldn't have if you just like, oh, no, I'm just going to stay over here and, you know, hope somebody says hi.
Right. And just, and then like that's, people tend to get sometimes, or shy people get shyer as they move on in life. And it's just like, does not help.
I tell you, I'm an introverted extrovert because I need my alone time. And, but I love being around people. Like, people do fill me up, but they also drain me. So, yeah.
Gregarious loner, we call it here.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. We call it gregarious loner. Yep. It's a Samantha. Shout out to Samantha Bennett, who coined the term. But that's what I feel too. I'm like, I need to be up, but then I need to close the door and not talk to anyone for sure. 100%. So this hacks thing is killing me. It's somewhere in my mind. I know it's going to come at the, when we hang up, I'm like, yeah. Oh, this amazing point I was making with hacks. But that is called smoking too much weed when you're 19. Okay. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. So well, for misfits who like don't know where to start, they feel so uncomfortable in themselves, and also, you know, there's a lot of people who like, you know, don't feel like a misfit inside, but aren't sure how to like express. So making your insides match your outsides, and this could be for gender reasons, or it could be just like literally like you're an accountant and you like also like sci-fi and you're like a nerd in this intense way. And how do you like, where do they start in sort of starting to express their outsides a little differently?
I think you just have to start. You just have to pick one part of you that, you know, this is what I think I am. Like, cause you give yourself sort of a, you know, I'm a, this kind of a person, but you also like these things. So let's explore those things more. You got to lean into stuff. And, you know, if you're an accountant, you're great at it. Awesome. But mm-hmm. you could also be into mm-hmm. that sci-fi stuff and have a great time. And the more you get into that, the more you find other people that are into that as well, the more you can share that. And then what happens is, so it's a bit of a balance, right? Like your accountant side starts to be less and your right. other side starts to be more. And then you got to shift and pivot. And yeah, but really just to, don't be afraid. Just jump in yeah. and start feeling. Just be.
And I wonder, curious, as you're building your community, what have you learned about community building in general?
You know, it's funny because when my sister first turned me on to Facebook back, I think the kids were just born, so 25 years ago, I was like, why would people share their lives to everybody? Mm-hmm. Like, why do why? That's not for me. I don't want to do that. Oh, right. My God. Never say never. Because, like, I'm an open book. Here I am. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I never believed that that was, like, a real thing, like real friendships or real community. I just thought that was all kind of like fake because you don't get to see anybody, or you don't see a presence. You're not in front of somebody. You mm-hmm. can't touch them. But that's not true. It's the types of messages and conversations that I have with the people in my community feel just as authentic and real as they do with some of my close friends that I see in person. And I think that because a lot of us had the same feeling that I had, you know, like you can't possibly have a friend online, like that's too weird, or that's not something that should be real. But it is. You can do that. And those people, my community, have pulled me out of more stuff than I can tell. Like when I broke my ankle and then had my lung surgery, those people were there for me. They reached out and said, hey, my dad went through the same thing and here's what he did. Oh, yes, I have a neighbor who broke her ankle and she ended up using this. And I'm like, you guys. And it made you feel seen and connected. And I think as human beings, we need that bit of connection that we feel, you know, community. We feel.
Right.
Yeah, we feel like we belong somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's parasocial relationships and they are real.
Okay, what's that?
I heard someone say that. She was like she's someone who had a very close connection to her community before she actually shut it all down because she was like, I can't do this anymore. Like in general, just like she was a stylist in the Instagram. Hillary Rushford is her name. She's very public about the whole experience, but she talks a lot about how, you know, they are very real. And she was like, I don't know how to continue this, like not here, not, I don't want to have this. This is like a branded, you know, site. And she was ready to shut down her business and move on. And so it was like, where do I don't know how, I'm going to try to figure it out. I don't know if she ever did at the time of this recording, but mm-hmm. it's real. She acknowledged like I created something real and I need to move away. But what do I do with this?
Wow. Yeah. You just never know, right? Like,
right.
That can happen.
Yeah.
And then what do you, like, we're presented with stuff like that all the time, you know? And the difference between people who really live in the now versus those who are a little bit, you know, pushed back is how you respond to the things that you're confronted with, right? Like, so, okay, I need to shut this down. What am I going to do? You know, am I going to? Yeah. So you step into it and find out.
Right. For sure. And like people move away, you know, people like there's things that happen in real life that do parallel, like stuff that happens online. And it is a community nonetheless, like even though it's maybe not in the physical space in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's so beautiful. And where do you feel like you've found the most? Like, do you feel like there's a difference in like the kind of reactions you get on what platform?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. Dish.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Give us some fairy dust on that.
I'm on. I'm pretty much on all the platforms. I tried YouTube, but it's just so much work. Anyway, Facebook. Lots of negativity and lots of keyboard warriors, as they say. So I spend very little time there. But I have a 40,000 plus following there. And then on TikTok, that's actually where I started, was on TikTok. I have 60,000 plus. And the community is so different from Instagram. And Instagram, I have over 148,000 followers. And that's my favorite. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because it's such a visual medium, or started out as being more of a visual medium.
Right.
But the community that I have on Instagram, for me, is like, that's my community. The community on TikTok, I mean, I love them to bits, but they're a little bit more standoffish. And then Facebook.
Yeah. But some people on Facebook, I mean, there's so many bots. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah, And I don't even acknowledge that. I'm like, I don't know, whatever.
Just, goodbye.
Yeah.
And then like for when are people coming to you or do you go to them? Are there like places where you can find people? Like, how do you like?
No, people.
It's
just
so interesting when you.
People find me, whether somebody shared a post or right now, Instagram is doing quite a lot to be more shareable and not the algorithm, but just different things that they're doing. So platforms like I've grown over 25,000 followers in 1 month because of the new things that Instagram has been doing. And it's just more shareable. Like people are searchable too. So people will, you know, find one thing and then that links them to something else. And then, okay, now that links them back to me. And
So you feel like their algorithm is doing more things to like put people who are in the similar rabbit hole.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it's almost like you've really done the build it. And they will come.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I never believed it. I was just doing it for myself.
Right.
Yes. Like when I remember when I hit 100,000 followers, I was like, whoa, that's a lot of eyes. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of
right,
things.
Right.
I don't know if I was comfortable with that, but it's okay.
Do you feel like a greater responsibility to like get with the content you have?
Oh, that's such a tough one. Yes. And I really try to check myself when I start to feel that, because I don't think I have responsibility to anyone except for myself. And the people who are watching and tuning in and consuming my content, they're doing it because they want to. I'm not, I hate the word influencer. I'm not an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a creator. So yes, I think mm-hmm. of that all the time. It's like, oh, but they want to see this. I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Right. And it's almost like, yeah, good for you. Hell yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
You just got to do you. Like, yeah, it's the whole point.
You know what? And then that, I think, is the other secret, is that just be you and people will like you, not anything else. Right?
Right.
So when you're trying to be something you're not, you can see right through it. And then you feel like, oh, I have a responsibility to carry on this facade.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like I had a meeting with someone who does social media she does consulting for social media, and she was working, I'm trying to keep it anonymous. Basically met with a bunch of influencers for a particular reason who they wanted, like meet with her. She'll give you the 2 cents about what direction you should go in and how you should proceed. And said that she had sent, like, many of them were crying, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what people want from me. And she was like, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, it matches, like, what they want and what you want intersect in some way. And then you find that thing and then you just go forward with that thing.
Like, what are you good at and what can you help others with? Right?
Right.
Like, if you're good at something, like say you're a really great knitter, and hey, can you like share your patterns with somebody and show them how to be a really great knitter and get a whole bunch of joy from just creating their stuff? Ultimately, it comes down to how much joy can I put out there? Because
right.
It's all going to come back to me afterwards.
Like, I love that. Yeah. Like, I love that. Just the joy. That's great. That's a clown horn. So I love that because it's like thinking about where is my light shining? And I'm just going to like continue to shine that light.
Yes, exactly.
Bigger and bigger. I love it. We have it here. Example, shine the light and they come. It's like build the light, get the light. And they come. I love that. All right. So we do a few things here. We do something called a misfit moment. This is the moment that you knew that the ordinary life was not for you.
There's probably a couple moments.
Mm.
But I think it was probably that story I told you about being 15 and working in a factory. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because that's what I thought, you know, life was going to be, like what my parents were doing, right? Like,
I didn't have
a ton of friends then. I didn't speak the language very well.
Right.
And I was like, no, I don't think so. This isn't what I want to do. This isn't what I'm going to be. No.
Right. Hell yeah. And what is your, when you're in the doldrums, what's your misfit inspiration, your misspiration, if you will? Things you, yeah, when you're in the doldrums, what brings you joy and hope and inspiration?
Other creative people. I just adore working with other creatives, like photographers and anyone who's like, you know, taking art classes and that kind of stuff. So when I can jump into something creative outside of what is giving me the doldrums, right? Because sometimes I do a little bit of graphic design on the side still. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm not getting it. It's not happening. This is like crap. So I go somewhere else. I go and I do some fashion stuff. And the fashion stuff feeds my creativity. I come back and I'm like, woo, I could do this, this. So finding other places to be, to get you out of that.
And then so I guess it's like a really okay to have other things where your places where your mind goes. Like it doesn't have to be all one thing.
Oh my gosh. As soon as you can figure that one out, you got it made, because really we don't have to be one thing. We could be so many things, and all those things can be joyful and
right.
Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci was a multi-passionate person. He did pretty well for himself.
I'd say so, yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
We can do it. All right. So I have, I always have a question for my characters, and I have very special here today. Coming also breaking boundaries in retirement. Well, I'm not sure. Would you consider yourself retired?
On paper, I am.
On paper, but you're still working it.
All
She's
right.
truly retired.
Okay.
She's in Boca Raton, Florida. Uh-huh. She is by the pool every day with her parliament and a martini, because it's always happy hour somewhere. bring to you some Carmela Ravoli. Hi, Manny. So nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you, Carmela.
I love it. You know, you're so into the different outfits. I just wear the same tracksuit every day because I could give a shit less. I say, yeah, but it's great, though.
Well, welcome to the give a shit less era.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. Manny, it's like, whatever. You want to wear your cool clothes, do all your things, crop top it up. I wish someone would fucking wear a crop top around the pool. I'm so sick of these people. They walk in, they're covering themselves in a muumuu. I was like, what, are you fucking dying? What the fuck? I don't do the color. I just would smoke a cigarette to show my rebellion from the bullshit. Listen, I talk to a lot of people at the Misfit Variety Show. I'm consigliere there. They give me stories. I give them advice. I just don't even know how to not laugh in the face of someone who's turning 30 and having an anxiety attack because they feel like they've gotten old. I'm over the hill. Okay. How do you, first of all, keep a straight face? And second of all, how can we help them? What can we say to them?
Well, perhaps we should get them a martini. Mine would be dirty with three olives, but...
Manny, we're going drinking. That's it.
Oh, how do... You know what? They have to be open to hearing you first, right? So if they're not open to hearing you, just walk away and let somebody else fix them. But I would say...
That's the truth.
Are you having fun doing what you're doing? And if the answer is no, well, then why don't you go do the things that are fun?
Right. And like, also, listen, what are you going to forevermore after you're 30? Are you just going to feel like it's over? Because if not, just jump off the bridge. You have two choices. And anyone who's into that bullshit, let me guess, they're a creepy old man being like, oh, you're over 30. I can't have you. Please don't. This is all bullshit.
Yeah. Yes, I hear you.
it's like you just want to shake them. Because the thing is, let's be honest, if we're living to 100 sometimes, 50 is middle age.
That's right. And man, if I get to 100, they better have leopard print walkers.
That's amazing. We love that. We love that. We love that. Leopard print walkers. I want one.
Yeah.
Although I said I'm never going to have a walker. I'm just going to let other people carry me around. That's all.
Oh, yes.
If I really play this Misfit Variety show goes well, I'll be able to make a few bucks and have them on payroll. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, Manny, it's so great to talk to you. I could talk to you for hours. I feel like we're going to go drink, and that's the plan.
Yes.
I'll see you later. Come to a Misfit Variety show. We'd love to have you.
Okay. I would love that.
All right. Hi. And that's Carmela.
Oh, she's fun.
She's a good time. You know, to be honest, sometimes I'm in a funk. My misfit inspiration is Carmela.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's like a real lesson there. Why not pretend to be the person that you think you want to be? Or, you know,
yeah.
Get yourself a new character and try it on.
Yeah, that's it. I think my characters are literally that.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I think
we should all
like.
Do more of that. Yes, let's do
Put
that.
It on. My favorite is to be, Carmela's super fun. To be, it's so fun to be Martha Stewart because she has no guilt and no like, she's like, please get the chives and make sure to strip them down individually into 1 meter bits so that they don't clog up the sauce on going on to my steak.
Oh my God, Martha Stewart. She was one of my inspirations as well.
Yeah,
and still is. Not was. Still is. Like, oh my
She's
God,
she's going it. Going yeah. it at 90. You got 30 more years before you figure out what that game is like.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, Manny, we can't wait to see what else you got cooking. And
yeah, I don't even know myself. It's like
okay. Well, tell everyone where they can come find you.
I'm on Instagram at Manny Fashion Stylist, TikTok Manny Kerman, and if you just Google me, you'll find me.
Oh, hey! All right, Diva. All right, we'll talk. We'll keep in touch, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There we have it. You can follow Misfits Making It on my social pages at Lauren Logi on all the things, Instagram especially, and also X Twitter thing and Threads and TikTok and YouTube Shorts and all the things. You can get updates and inside info by joining my email list at www.laurenlogi.com. Thank you to Ani Makutsian for editing, Edward Schiller at Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Thank you to Marine Asiant for our new music and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast. And thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.